There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
This is not Paul Charchian. This is Matt Harrison, along with Brian Johnson. It's Fantasy Football Weekly, a day late, a buck short.
Well, I ruined it by talking over you. I was going to say, what if we were Paul Charchian? He was just one person who did all the voices, like Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend.
He's been doing all of our voices for years. It's quite the impressive. He's like the Frank Oz of fantasy football. But, Charch is out today under the weather, so Matt and Brian filling in on the weekly Fantasy Football Weekly show. And we're going to talk free agency all over today. The guys at all of the positions that may land on a different team this year, but we have to start with the big trade. And because we're recording this on Saturday, we got to see this trade that went down Friday afternoon. And the Bears trade out of pick number one overall to the Carolina Panthers. The Bears receive pick 9, pick 61, DJ Moore, which might be the most interesting trade piece so far, a 24 first and a 25 second. Brian, instant reaction.
Instant reaction. Definite upgrade for Justin Fields, of course. Finally has a competent wide receiver.
Definite upgrade for DJ Moore, too, right?
It almost feels like a lateral move to me. I don't know. It's not a bad thing, but people knock Justin Fields as a passer. I think he's a good passer. He's never had good weapons. He's never had a DJ Moore before, but
it's true.
I'm not bumping. He doesn't change a whole lot for me. I don't think it gets worse. It's not a worse situation for Moore.
Yeah.
It certainly helps Fields more than it helps Moore. I think Terrace Marshall now is certainly very interesting on the Carolina side.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no one left there.
I mean, specifically, since they don't have a first or a second, they're not taking a wide receiver in the second round unless they're making some crazy moves here.
Unlikely. Not with the first overall pick either. Taking a wide receiver.
Well, maybe we'll talk about some wide receivers later in the show that Carolina can pick up.
So Terrace Marshall bumped up, and I believe it's Shai Smith, who's getting some run last year. Those are your two starting wide receivers for the Panthers, who also don't have a running back and have never had a tight end.
It's kind of a full rebuild there.
Except for Dan Arnold for a couple weeks, but they traded him. That was stupid. But big win for Chicago in reality football. But
it was noted at Indy at the Combine that Frank Reich said that Bryce Young was a little short for the position and his liking. But so I'm interested to see if the Panthers do go in on Bryce Young at number one overall, or if they've got C.J. Stroud penciled in there.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a quarterback. If you're a gambling man, and we both are, I've already got my money on Will Levis.
I do too. I have a Will Levis number one overall pick. bet in Vegas right now at MGM.
What odds did you get on it?
I think it was like plus 1,800 or something.
Yeah, I got
that.
I got 30-1, and it's going to be a quarterback. I'm not sold on any of these guys.
Yeah.
I feel like the Panthers are going to go with the high upside options, and that's Richardson and Levis.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying Levis is the best, but I'm like at those odds all day.
Definitely.
I'll take my chance. It feels like a 25% chance to me. It's just going to be one of those guys. And if you're going to give me 30-1 on one of them, I'm taking it.
That's so true. All right. So let's talk about some of the free agent guys. And, the guy that is probably the most interesting player who's not technically a free agent, but kind of a free agent. That's Lamar Jackson, who's on the non-exclusive franchise tag. There's been a lot of reports out there that say the Falcons are out, the Dolphins are out, and the Dolphins actually said that they're going to pick up Tua's fifth-year option. But there's a lot of steam out there that says a lot of these teams are out on paying two first-round picks and then paying Lamar Jackson. It kind of feels a little collusion-y, like the Colin Kaepernick thing. Like, nobody wants to give Lamar Jackson guaranteed money for some reason.
Yeah, I don't
know. Because he just wants more than Deshaun Watson got.
I don't believe what anyone's saying about anything in this situation.
It's strange. I've seen a lot of steam on the Colts maybe being the team that goes after Lamar Jackson.
The Lions are getting thrown out there.
Yeah. The Raiders would be an interesting spot.
I don't know why the Jets aren't throwing their hat in the ring.
I think the Jets and Rodgers have the Jets and the Packers have a deal in place. They're waiting on Rodgers.
Yeah, but still, I would still be kicking the tires.
Sure.
Long story short, I think he's going to end up somewhere else. Of course, the Ravens can match any offer.
Yeah.
But Jackson's heart is not going to be in that team with that organization anymore.
It's true. He didn't show up to the playoff game. I think he's checked the box and he's done there. So he can't have more rushing value outside of Baltimore, it seems, because Greg Roman, the former offensive coordinator, created some running plays for him. The good news is almost anywhere he goes, he'll have more targets, better targets than Baltimore, because they just do not incentivize that as a team.
I was going to say the Ravens have the worst wide receiver room until the Panthers just traded away DJ Moore. But yeah, basically anywhere else he goes. I mean, Mark Andrews is nice tight end. We like Likely, and Rashad Bateman can play, but hasn't proven to stay healthy. But yeah, I think I like his prospects almost anywhere else over Baltimore.
Interesting that Carolina just didn't pull the trigger on Lamar Jackson. With trading two first round picks, they could have kept DJ Moore, traded the two first, get Lamar Jackson. That would have been an interesting play too.
It would have.
So Todd Monken is the new OC in Baltimore. His resume isn't super inspiring. He was the Browns offensive coordinator in 2019. The team finished 22nd in points, 22nd in yards. Before that, he was Dirk Cutter's OC in Tampa with Jameis Winston. That was kind of a mixed bag of results there. I believe that was the 30 interception season for Winston. So
yeah, let's get Lamar out of there.
Yeah,
long story short,
let's get him out of there. Let's talk about Danny Dimes though, Brian.
Well, he's obviously staying in New York, so nothing's really going to change there a whole lot. Hopefully we can get into if we think that contract is a good idea or not. That doesn't really matter in fantasy football. The one thing that stands out, one thing that resonated to me was next year. It's just 1 year, small sample or whatever, but he's going to have a bigger hit against the Giants cap, Daniel Jones, than Patrick Mahomes is going to have for the Chiefs.
Totally makes sense.
So, but you know, Danny Dimes, he exceeded expectations last year. So we'll see what happens this year. The Giants are probably going to add a wide receiver or two. You would think they got Barkley still. But, we'll see.
Yeah, they have to add a wide receiver. You need some weapons.
You know, he got paid off of that Vikings game, and the Giants are not going to be playing the Vikings every week.
That's true.
So I think people are, you know, the recency bias.
Wonder if he's sending a thank you card to the Vikings defensive staff.
Ed Donatell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Donatell getting the card in the mail.
Ed Donatell, send Danny Dimes your Venmo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent. There's a lot of reason to doubt whether Jimmy Garoppolo can succeed outside of Kyle Shanahan's offense. He really never has had a chance much out of Kyle Shanahan's offense, but he was a middling fantasy producer when surrounded by really some Hall of Fame level talent in Debo and George Kittle. His value pretty much goes down wherever he goes because he's unlikely to be in an offense anywhere as near as good as San Francisco's. I think that goes without saying. One of the best offensive lines in the league.
He's a backup, or he's going to be a guy that maybe starts the first 4 weeks in front of Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud
and
or Will Levis for the Carolina Panthers.
From the Jimmy Garoppolo camp, he wants to be a starter in the league. And I mean, there's going to be some starting jobs open. There's still about half of the league doesn't have a solid foundation of where they have as a quarterback right now. So I think Garoppolo probably will get a chance to start at the beginning of the season. We just don't know where. Probably an NFC team. There's a lot of NFC teams that
he's not landing on an offense quite like the 49ers. Nope. End of the story there. So not too thrilled about wherever he ends up.
All right, let's move on to the running back position where Josh Jacobs gets the franchise tag and Saquon Barkley also got the franchise tag. And interesting to me, Brian, does it seem like that might be the future of the running back position, especially if you draft a running back in the first round? You pay them their fifth year option and then you franchise tag them 1 year. So you get them for the 6 years and then you let them ride off into the sunset. Maybe 4 years and then the franchise year. But that kind of seems like a good way to play the running back position. If you're drafting a running back in the first or second round, just let them go after doing a franchise tag year.
Yeah. If I was with the Giants, and for whatever reason, Bijan Robinson fell
all the way down there in the 20s.
Yeah. And I know you got Barkley.
I think he probably will be there in the 20s.
It's very possible. You know, you draft him. You got your brand new Barkley. You still have old Barkley. You try to make a run this year. You know, things don't look good. You trade Barkley to a contender, and then you got Bijan because they're not going to be paying Barkley next year.
No.
So, and the Jacobs thing is weird. We said last year, the Raiders are going to ride Josh Jacobs into the ground.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray style.
DeMarco Murray style, which they did, and they'll probably do it again. But now the Giants are going to do that with Barkley.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, people are drafting right now, and it's early. They're drafting Bijan over Barkley, which is nuts because Barkley's going to get 25 carries a game. Bijan's probably going to get like...
You have to be bullish on both Jacobs and Barkley playing on a tag like this.
Yeah, in redraft leagues, without a doubt. Now, in Dynasty, they're getting old. Sadly, Barkley's, what, 27 almost?
Yeah.
Time flies.
A name that's getting old, but he's really not that old, David Montgomery. What do you think of his prospects in the free agent market, Brian?
Yeah, turns 26 in June, so he's right in the tail end of his prime, but... since his rookie year,
26, the tail end of his prime.
Running backs, it's a tough life, man. It's a tough life they live. They really just get churned and burned. But Monty's yards per carry since his rookie year, 3.7, 4.3, 3.8, 4.0. Not very good at all, but yards per carry doesn't tell the whole story. Montgomery was top 15 in avoided tackle rates in three of his four seasons behind a mostly below average offensive line in Chicago. And, you know, he was splitting time with Khalil Herbert, of course, who kind of looked better. So long story short, and Justin Fields, an amazing rushing quarterback. I think his prospects are better wherever he ends up. And I think Carolina, certainly in the mix for running back. Denver could be, because where is Javonte Williams might not be ready for the season at all.
Yeah.
So I think wherever Montgomery ends up, he'll be given a chance to produce a little more than had in Chicago recently.
Yeah. Miles Sanders is a free agent coming off a really good year in Philly. But the Eagles really never made him the focal point of the rushing attack. It was because of the scheme, maybe because Jalen Hurts is frankly awesome, especially near the stripe, or because Sanders just can't be a three down bell cow. Pro Football Focus graded Sanders as the bottom ranked running back as a receiver. Derrick Henry watches Sanders film and then laughs at Miles Sanders' hands. It's true. It's true. Derrick Henry, he's always laughing at others. Also, PFF grades Sanders as the 38th ranked pass blocker. That's not very good for a guy who's a starting running back. Will another team use Miles Sanders more or differently? I'm not really sure. It seems like he's just kind of a guy.
Yeah,
he's a Jag. Maybe he's a Jacksonville Jaguars backup. good news. His next team won't have a quarterback stealing double digit rushing touchdowns. I think there's a decent chance he just re-signs in Philly, too.
Speaking of a Jag or an ex-Jag, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Turned 28 in January. Oh, so he's God. An old man now. Not long ago. I think it was 2017, the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
By my Jaguars. Big whoopsie there. But I don't really want to hear about Leonard Fournette anymore. He's going to be a backup wherever he ends up. He's not a starter.
Don't you think it's kind of the way of LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, where he's just like kind of a forgotten asset at this point?
Pretty much. And granted, Tampa Bay did not have a great offensive line, but Fournette dead last in this free agent class of running backs in yards after contact. So you can't always blame that on the offensive line. In most cases, you can. So I'm not really – there's other free agent running backs I'm more excited about seeing where they end up than Leonard Fournette.
Well, maybe Devin Singletary is one of those guys. He's probably out in Buffalo as James Cook likely inherits his job in Buffalo. Did you hear the thing that James Cook's middle name is Dalvin?
Yeah, I heard that.
And Dalvin Cook's middle name is James?
Some serious brotherly love.
Devin Singletary is one of the best pass blockers in free agency. He's got pretty low mileage on him, too, never topping 214 carries in a season. But he's never been a bell cow, probably because he's little. He's 5'7". Decent receiver, but not a natural receiver like a James White. He's probably a rotational back, just as he was with another team. But it would be interesting to see a guy like Devin Singletary. He seems like a Kansas City Chiefs kind of a guy.
Oh, that'd be so gross.
Like, yeah. like, doesn't it seem like that kind of player would just sign with the Chiefs on like a mid-budget deal and split the backfield with Pacheco?
Yeah, and they probably just want the inside info on Buffalo more than anything.
That's probably it, yeah. How about Damian Harris, Brian?
Damian Harris. Charge loves Damian Harris.
He spent way too much of the season on the injured list.
Well, the last 3 years, here are his games played, starting the most recent 11, 15, and 10. So he's only sort of played one full season. Mm-hmm. So he's not the most durable back out there. When healthy, he was effective, averaged 4.7 yards per carry. But I feel like that was more being a Patriot because they love to run.
Because they just run and they over and over. And that was before Ramondre was there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, before Ramondre really popped off. And then, of course, Ramondre looked like the better back even when both were healthy. So I need to see. I'm not like, it's not like wherever Damian Harris ends up, I'm in. He's that talented a back. I mean, he's a good running back. Don't get me wrong, but he needs to find a nice soft place to land for me to,
yeah, absolutely,
to be interested on draft day.
Jamal Williams was the NFL's leading touchdown scorer last year. That blows my mind. Yep, 17 still. Touchdowns. He's headed to free agency. He's kind of getting up there. He's a finisher. He's the 10th most yards after contact last year, but that number drops the 38th in average yards after contact, which is bizarre. he's not a dynamic runner, finished 48th in breakaway runs per carry, although he saw a lot of stacked boxes in short yardage. He doesn't catch. Best case scenario, he probably just stays in Detroit because we know how he'll be used there. Second best scenario, he joins another skilled backfield with a split where he's the short yardage specialist. Maybe a place like Buffalo, maybe a place like Kansas City, something like that. Another former Kansas City Chiefs running back, Kareem Hunt. He wanted to be traded from the Browns midseason, but he didn't. What happened, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know. What happened to Kareem Hunt in general? Remember, it was his rookie year. He was awesome.
He looked like Jamal Charles
with
part two.
I remember it was the first game of the season, like the Thursday night opener, and he had like the four touchdowns, and I think it was against the Patriots. But Hunt turns 28 in August. That's old again, but he should have a lot of tread left on the tires. Outside of that, his rookie year, he hasn't carried top 200 carries in any other season. He's always kind of been the change of pace back. Mm-hmm. So I would love for him just to get a shot, like in Carolina, maybe in Denver, if Javonte Williams is to miss an extended amount of time, just to be the guy again. Because I don't remember exactly.
At least to be the 1A in a 1A, 1B kind of situation.
Because when he was with the Chiefs his rookie year, he looked like he was going to be a Hall of Fame running back. And then he derailed his career essentially in his life for a little while, got back on track a little bit, got a second chance with the Browns. But he's never, you know, he's always been the, you know, the Robin to Nick Chubb's Batman. So I'm very, so like this whole exercise is good for anyone doing best ball drafts right now,
mm-hmm.
or startup dynasty leagues, leagues, or even if you're looking to make a trade in your dynasty league, because right now all these pending free agents, they come at a discount.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get, they're not going to really lose any value because they're already discounted so much because
yes.
everyone's kind of like hesitant because they don't know where they're going to play, but they land in the right spot. Like Kareem Hunt
mm-hmm.
ends up in Carolina as their starting running back. Granted, it's not going to be a great offense. His ADP as it stands right now will jump up three rounds, roughly, something like that.
So. Yeah, and what if he ends up in New Orleans or something like that? And Alvin Kamara is looking at a long suspension.
So he's the guy I've been targeting in best ball right now, just hoping. He's got the talent that he's the running back I'm most excited, free agent running back I'm most excited to see where he lands.
Last running back we'll mention is Jerick McKinnon, and I guess I have to get this one out for Jerick McKinnon because... Yeah, I called that one a little bit. Improbably found his stride in year 7, weeks 1 through 12, he was RB50, and from week 13 forward, he was RB2, making him maybe one of the least likely league winners in memory.
He was probably like wide receiver, like 22, because he was really more so the receiving than the rushing. He was doing the damage.
8 receiving touchdowns in the final 6 weeks. Wow. So, Jerick McKinnon... I mean, talking about long in the tooth, I mean, his teeth got to be like, you know, saber-tooth tiger tusks or something like that. You got to think that McKinnon's best option is to just stay in Kansas City as long as he can.
Yeah, I don't see, like, anyone who's leaving, we're going to talk about a few Chiefs wide receivers. Like, anyone leaving Kansas City, it's not like, oh, this is going to be better off in other place.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the wide receivers and tight ends that might make a difference in the next couple of rounds of your best ball drafts, your dynasty drafts, anything like that. Coming up next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my, look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And we're back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Matt Harrison, along with Brian Johnson this week.
Hey, Matt.
Huh? Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
No, I haven't seen you in a while. Say hi again.
It's true.
We went on a break. When we take a break, we literally like take a break from each other, and then we come back.
That's true. I haven't seen you since, what, December?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
It's been a while. How's the new puppy?
It's a handful.
Yeah? I saw that you tweeted a picture of her and Christopher Walken.
They look very similar. Someone pointed that out to me. I didn't realize it. At first, I was like, no. And then the more I looked at it, I was like, wow.
You were like,
it does. Wow. Only in like certain light, like when it's really bright, like it really brings out her walking like eyes.
All right. Let's talk about some of the wide receivers out there. And I'm trying to find the tweet, but Ian Hartitz, who's kind of a friend of the program, he tweeted out something about some of the last decade of free agent wide receivers and how they almost never work out. Like the best one has been Christian Kirk. And that was the best one by far.
It certainly wasn't Kenny Golladay in recent memory, or
Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
My guy, Allen Robinson. Oh. But I still love you, Allen Robinson. I'm not giving up on you.
Yeah, it's been a disaster. But Juju Smith-Schuster hits free agency for a second straight year. What do you think Juju's going to do?
We alluded to this before the break. I don't care where Juju ends. I don't even care if Juju stays on the Chiefs, to be honest with you. Only two games over 100 yards with Kansas City. Technically, it was only two games over 90 yards because he had like 88 and 89. Yeah. But I don't like being that much of a stickler.
Sure.
Like, you never even topped 90 yards. But only two games over 100 yards. Only three touchdowns with Kansas City last year, including the playoffs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had three receiving touchdowns in just 10 games.
Juju had twice as many games. He had 20 games.
He had his chance. He didn't come. You know, Kansas City, they'll probably bring in. If he stays, God, I don't. Things will be worse off if he goes somewhere else, obviously.
You can't imagine that they'd sign him to big money, right?
No. He would probably take a pay cut to stay. He's certainly not going to go to the Eagles. He'll get jumped as soon as he gets off the plane. Who they kind of need a slot receiver too. That'd be something else.
What if he just went to the NFC East? What about the Giants?
Thankfully, I don't care anymore. But again, I don't. Juju is not on my radar whatsoever for the rest of my life.
All right, Jacoby Myers was a quietly consistent flex level producer as a Patriots wide receiver, which is impressive. From week 5 forward, he averaged 4 catches for 50 yards and about half a touchdown per game. That's roughly 12 PPR points. That's enough to be a flex starter in most cases. Tried to find some advanced stats about Jacoby Myers to be particularly good at anything. Nothing. He's just kind of a dude. 5 years, he's never topped 900 yards or 6 touchdowns. He had that long open of his career where he had never scored. I think he went like 20 some games without scoring a touchdown to start his career. Jacoby Myers, just an average slot guy.
That's what it looks like on paper,
yeah,
for sure. But New England, worst place in the world to be a wide receiver,
sure,
basically, unless you were Randy Moss in 2007. Outside of that, like, there's been no success at the wide receiver position for the Patriots. And I test Jacoby can make play. I'm excited to see where if he gets put in the right spot. I think he could surprise some people. And if he stays healthy.
Interesting spot after the Vikings dropped Adam Thielen. Maybe Minnesota for Jacoby Myers is kind of a sneaky landing spot, kind of on a prove it deal kind of thing.
He's not along
Justin Jefferson.
He's not solely a slot guy either. Yeah. He can line up outside.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting spot. And the guy we're about to talk about here, I think, could end up in Minnesota as well.
DJ Wiki Wiki Chark.
Yeah, or it would be a good fit for DJ. Turns 27 in September, so he's still got plenty of gas left in the tank. Unlike Adam Thielen, who I just had to laugh. Granted, not knocking Thielen whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Great career.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Certainly will be in the Vikings Ring of Honor.
Whoever first reported it, I think it was Tom Pelissero, but it just in his tweet, he's like, still with plenty of gas left in the tank. Thielen was looking to contend, sign the contender. You're like, plenty of gas in the tank. Did you watch football last year?
Yeah.
If he wasn't getting it done with Justin Jefferson getting triple covered and Thielen, anyway.
And TJ Hockenson drawing a lot of coverage for the second half of the year. Yeah, Thielen's 33, so.
So yeah. I guess we'll knock the Thielen to talk out. Let's get that over with.
We just got it out of the way. How about
I don't
DJ
think
Chark?
Anything's better. He's not going to be better off anywhere else if he didn't get it done in Minnesota last year. So DJ Chark, though, I think I like his prospects if he can stay healthy. The problem is he's played just 15 games over the last two seasons with the Lions last year and then with Jacksonville the year before. He was drafted 61st overall by the Jags in 2018, so he was somewhat of a blue chip prospect. He broke out in his second year with 1,000 plus yards and 8 touchdowns, but since then he's struggled with injury, has totaled just 10 touchdowns in the three seasons since. But again, if he can stay healthy and lands in the right spot, like if he signs with Minnesota and he's the opposite Justin Jefferson, who's still going to see double coverage every game,
well,
I think Chark is very intriguing. So he's the guy I've been scooping up and just hoping he gets lands in a good spot, starting gig, nice offense.
And wherever he lands, it's probably the best quarterback of his career.
For sure. I mean, Goff was decent, but he only played like 9-10 games last year. But
wait.
Nine times.
Nine times.
I was waiting to use that button. Yeah. All right, Alan Lazard, he's a Packer. Well, at least he was a Packer. With Devontae Adams gone last season, everything was in place for Alan Lazard's breakout year, and he went backwards. He's a clear second wide receiver at best, maybe a third option, and that was on an Aaron Rodgers offense, and he's probably not going to sign in a spot where he's going to get a better quarterback. Seventh worst cushion, 15th worst separation per next gen stats. We've seen him score touchdowns. He's had 14 over the last 2 years. Maybe that's like the hope, is that he finds a landing spot where he can just be like a short yardage threat. You know, like that's another one where you're just like, if you're a big Alan Lazard fan, you hope he ends up in Kansas City, or you hope he ends up in Buffalo, or you hope he ends up, you know, as Justin Herbert's third wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about wherever Alan Lazard ends up. And definitely not, I don't even want to get into this next guy, but we will for a second. Mecole Hardman, another Chief. I'm not gonna say dislike, but I'm about excited as about where Mecole Hardman ends up as I am about Juju Smith-Schuster. All I want to do is just go back and see what Kansas City could have done instead of drafting Hardman in the second round, 56th overall in 2017. Mm-hmm. They could have had wide receivers in the same range, like DK Metcalf.
Oh God,
Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin.
Dang.
All could have been Kansas City Chiefs. So, but again, anyone leaving Kansas City, you're not going to be like, oh, they're going to do better here.
Nope.
And not especially not Hardman. We didn't get done in Kansas City ever. So
I would contend, even in kind of a shaky wide receiver draft class, that it's probably better taking a rookie wide receiver than any of these guys that we've mentioned in drafts this year. Especially if you're doing early best ball drafts, you can wait 5 or 6 rounds and take a rookie wide receiver over Juju or Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, this is the least exciting
free agency
wide receiver class that I can remember.
So, and the last one we're going to talk about is Paris Campbell, a Charge favorite. No, Perry. Last year, his fourth season, Campbell finally played a full year with okay results, 600 yards, 3 scores. In fairness, the Colts were just bad. They were diseased. And it was catching passes from the undead corpse of Matt Ryan, first-time starter Sam Ellinger, and journeyman Nick Foles. What a trio of quarterbacks.
That's
right there.
Brutal.
Back to the combine. He was an athletic freak, though. Top 90% guy at just about everything. His ideal landing spot is a team that needs a starting slot wide receiver, like New England, Baltimore, Cleveland, tons of other teams. Several options for him. But he's a slot guy, and it like the prototypical slot guy that is maybe 4 or 5 catches a game, and you hope he breaks one. But that's the high end. That's the upside for Paris Campbell, is a 5-catch game, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's enough Paris Campbell talk for me.
Okay, let's move on to the tight end position. Dalton Schultz is a free agent, and would be surprising to me if he left Dallas, but what do you think?
Well, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford to pay him, so I'm pretty much envisioning he's gone. I've been scooping up Jake Ferguson everywhere I can in the last round, anticipating that Dalton Schultz leaves. Washington would certainly be an interesting landing spot for Schultz. Turns 27 in July, still pretty young, tight end standards. His first two seasons, he's really spent most of them as a backup, so not a lot of wear and tear on Schultz. But man, Dallas was such a tight end friendly offense, and has been for 20 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not like he was really competing. Jake Ferguson and I was named Peyton Hender shoot shot. They were stealing some snaps,
sure.
But wherever Schultz ends up, he's likely going to be the main guy, but I really want to see where it is. But I don't think it can get any better than Dallas for him.
No, it seems like that was a good landing spot for him. And the spot, it may be better than the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So he might get paid like a super talented tight end, but I'm not sure if he fits that mold.
He wasn't a full-on system tight end, but a partial system tight end.
Mike Gesicki obviously wasn't a system tight end in Miami, at least not the new system. He's got high draft pedigree, though, and a really, you know, the perfect designed body to play tight end, but it's just never come together for Mike Gesicki. He limps into free agency off his worst season since his rookie year. He only started one game last year for Miami. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I hate means the more starting
like
stats. Yeah,
like he wasn't on the field for the first snap or something like that. But because he's never been a prototypical tight end in that he doesn't block.
Yeah.
And you don't want that in fantasy football, though. So that's a good thing in my mind. But he was just never a good fit in Miami. He was more of a wide receiver, and they had much better wide receivers on Miami.
Yeah, they
and
certainly
Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But I'm sorry if you weren't done with Gesicki yet, but he's another guy who I've been grabbing late in drafts because if he, you know, I'm not calling him Travis Kelce, but he's like Travis Kelce light. Like he could be
light.
He could be, you know, essentially a wide receiver that you can put in your tight end position in fantasy football. He's kind of that kind. Like he doesn't block. He's always lined up in the slot or outside. And if he's in a gets sent to a high functioning offense, I'm intrigued by Gesicki based on his price tag. He's like barely inside the top 200 players right now. So
an interesting landing spot. We've talked about this a little bit because of the trade, but how about Carolina? Like that would be a kind of a cool landing spot for him because he'd probably be the top receiving option immediately in Carolina.
I like that.
And you could get him at a pretty sizable discount over some of the free agent wide receivers because just tight ends go for less than wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm with that. I like that idea.
Hayden Hurst is the last guy on the list. And Brian, I know that he's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst, most famous for getting drafted by the Ravens with the 25th overall pick in 2018. 7 picks before Lamar Jackson. 61 picks before the Ravens selected Mark Andrews in the 4th round. And Hurst was also picked before Dallas Goedert and Mike Gesicki. So I just never forget that. That's just the weirdest draft in the world, how it Hayden was. Hurst went before
absolutely
Jackson and then Mark Andrews rounds later. But anyways, turns 30 in August. I'm pretty much out on Hurst in redraft and dynasty, obviously. Zero spike weeks in the regular season with the Bengals last year.
I mean, CG Uzomah had that, like, you'd get a little bit more out of him from that standpoint.
Yeah, his best game was 6 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Which is a good game, but that was his only good game. He only scored one other touchdown the rest of the season and never topped 60 yards at all. Like he just,
get a better situation than walking into that one too. No.
And of course you're competing for targets in the Bengals. He was with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, but I don't know. Hurst doesn't have like the skill set to go somewhere and just be an impact player. I don't know. It didn't work out. I was really in on him last year when he was with the Bengals. I was expecting something, but got nothing. So kind of dead to me now. Sorry, Hayden Hurst.
Is Dan Arnold a free agent, by the way?
No, unfortunately not. He's still under contract.
He's locked in.
He's one more year with Jacksonville, and I'm going to get emotional. I got nothing against Evan Engram. And I'm not going to say Dan Arnold is a better player than Evan Engram, but comparable skill sets. Arnold would have put up great numbers if Evan Engram was not on the Jaguars last year. And they just tagged Engram in Jacksonville, so he'll be there again. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited for the team overall. But yeah, I don't know. Dan Arnold's just gonna have to wait one more year, or he'll need injury. But
and on the Dan Arnold note, we wrap up the show.
That's usually how it goes.
You can follow Brian on Twitter at BTXJ. You can follow me on Twitter at Explosive Output.
You can follow Dan Arnold, who follows me on Twitter.
That's true. I
don't know his handle, though, off the top of my head. Just search Dan Arnold.
At Dan Arnold.
Yeah, maybe. Just look at my top 8 on my Twitter. They're all Dan Arnold.
Wait, isn't that MySpace?
It is. There are probably people out there like, the 20-year-old's like, what the hell is he talking about? Top 8?
You know,
MySpace?
If Elon threw in a top 8 a la MySpace onto Twitter, would that be an improvement?
That would rule. And then the profile, you got like, remember you had your own song you could put on your page?
That was fun.
Oh, yeah. MySpace was peak. Peak.
For about 3
social
months.
But then the whole world went to hell.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to hope that Charch is feeling better and ready to go next week. And we'll be back with another Fantasy Football Weekly next Friday. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.